Well, good morning. A massive welcome, as was said earlier, to Family Church here in Havant. We are one church in different locations, and just a massive welcome to you, especially if it's your first time with us here this morning, or a friend brought you, or you haven't been for a while. It's just brilliant to see each and every single one of you. Now, before I share the word this morning, every Sunday we gather around the word for a little while and just talk about how this ancient document is alive and active and living and still relevant to us today. Amen? Amen? Brilliant. So we're going to do that in just a moment. But before I do that, last week, as I mentioned a moment ago, we were talking about fellowship, koinonia. And as part of that, we touched upon connect groups. And I said, if you want to know more about connect groups, speak to Ian and Helen. And as I said that, I realized that Helen was in kids' church and Ian was in youth. So if you guys just come up for a moment, this is Ian and Helen. And they oversee all that we do with our connect groups. Just going to hand over to you briefly.
Cool. Thanks, everyone. What a great time to be talking about connect groups when we've just done communion. Something that struck me is when I'm standing in the back there, all of us here are in community with each other when we take the bread and the wine. Isn't that incredible? It doesn't matter how old, how young, race, gender, whatever might make us slightly different. We're all unified in community by remembering that we are taking part. And also we're in community with 2,000 years of Christianity. Doesn't that blow your mind? Like 2,000 years people have been taking part in this ceremony. Isn't that amazing? Like, if that doesn't blow your mind, I don't know what will. So maybe it's just me. Anyway, so yeah, connect groups. I think I've said this every time anybody asks me to share anything about connect groups, is it's the one thing that stops us from being a club on a Sunday morning, right? Often have this conversation at work. Right, do you really believe that Jesus came back? I was like, I can't have to. Otherwise, I'm just turning up for, you know, just turning up for a club, really. And joining connect groups is that way of, as it says in Proverbs, iron sharpening iron. It's that way of getting together. It's that way of sharing wisdom, picking apart what we think. It's just an incredible way to get to know our church family. Yeah, and it's we love our connect group. We're slightly more compact compared to the others, but we are small, yet we are mighty. There are others that are bigger. And the great thing here at Havant is that there is a connect group for everybody. We have the connect group for those that would rather not be in a massive group. We have the connect group for those that would rather be online. We have the connect group that wants to connect with men, that wants to connect with women, that wants to connect through dance, that are free during the days, that can come here, that are only three in the evenings, that want to be. So there's loads and loads and loads and loads of different options. So I'm going to attempt the impossible after the service and stand in one place for about half an hour. Quite frankly, you might as well ask me to fly. I'm going to be standing at the back, relatively still. If you want to get involved in a connect group, if you want to find out what connect groups are like, what might work for you, what isn't working for you, please come and speak to me. We're always quite keen if anybody else wants to start a connect group. You know, we're only as strong as we make each other, right? We are only as strong. We can't do Christianity just for a couple of hours on a Sunday morning. It has to happen every single day of the week, because we're Christians every day of the week, aren't we? We don't just switch on and off on a Sunday. So please, please, please come and talk to us about connect groups. Anything you want to say? No, there we are. Thank you.
Helen's like, what he said. I'd just like to point out, actually, pride comes before a fall, so maybe I shouldn't point that out. But just in a humble way, I'd like to point out that recently there was a connect group quiz from across all the congregations, and it just so happened that the one that I lead happened to win the quiz. So, Nimi, I don't know why you're cheering. You weren't even there. You didn't turn up. Claim all the glory. Anyway, Acts chapter 2, let's bring this in. Acts chapter 2, we are in a series entitled A Growing Church. A Growing Church. And one of the reasons, if you're new to us, one of the reasons that we're doing this series is because we've got to focus this year on two key words, magnify and multiply. And we're in the second part of that, looking at this thing of multiply. And we believe that one of the ways that God wants his family to experience multiplication is through the church growing. Amen? Now, that's not just numerically, though that's a part of it. If you look around today, the church in this nation is growing, thank God. The church in this nation is advancing. But it's not just about numbers. We want to grow and multiply in every way that God would want his church to grow and multiply. And so we've been in this series, as I said, started this series in Acts chapter 2. And when you read Acts chapter 2 from verse 42 onwards, you get this description, you get this snapshot of the early church, these early followers of Jesus who were this movement that began because of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. And so they were in the upper room, and if you know the book of Acts, the promised Holy Spirit was sent, and that was the day of Pentecost, and from that moment began the church. And we've been looking at how they did life as a church. And we've seen that because of the way they did church, because of the way they lived life as church, God added to their number daily those who were being saved. In other words, the way that they were as a church caused God to multiply them. Key verse we've been looking at, Acts chapter 2, verse 42. It says, all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, as we did, and to prayer. Now, so far in this series, we've looked really at three key things. Number one, what does it mean to be devoted to something or someone? What does that devotion look like? And then we've begun to look at what they devoted themselves to. Number two, we talked about the fact that they devoted themselves to this thing called the apostles' doctrine. And again, if you're new to church, you might think, what on earth does that mean, the apostles' doctrine? And so we dug into that and saw that actually this was all about teaching about the change Jesus had made. That it was a new day because Jesus had come to this earth, died and rose again, and the promised Holy Spirit had been sent. And so we looked at that in detail. And then last week, as I said, we talked about this ancient word fellowship that actually is still so relevant to us today in 2025. But as we said, we live in one of the most connected generations in all of history, technology-wise, but we are some of the most disconnected and isolated people in all of history. And so we spent time digging into that thought as well, that church is not an event. As Ian said a moment ago, church is a family called together by God. If you've missed any of those messages, as always, they're available online or via the Family Church app. If you don't know how to get that, we can show you after the service. Okay, today we want to look at a bit of a different angle on all of this. In the sense that when you read through the book of Acts and you see this early church and what they were like, one of the things that you realize about them is that they weren't scared of change and transition. You read through the book of Acts, you see the early church wasn't static, it was constantly evolving in an exciting, God-filled way. And change didn't threaten the church. In fact, change grew the church. When you read not just Acts chapter 2, but you read throughout the book of Acts, and you see Paul was going here and Paul was going there and leaders were being raised up here. The church was constantly changing and in transition and in this place where God was moving it. So that's what we want to look at this morning today. And as we do, I'm just going to invite you to turn your eyes to the screen for a video that we're going to briefly watch.
Hi, Family Church, and all our family and friends who are watching. Today, we have a very significant announcement to share with you. We've recorded it so that every location of Family Church can hear it at the same time as we're speaking it live in Portsmouth. So here's the big headline. At the beginning of next year, Gina and I have decided that it's time for us to step away from leading Family Church as senior pastors. At the end of January, we will hand over the role of senior pastors to Stuart and Carla Payne, and we'll transition into a role of providing apostolic covering to the church, a church we've loved and led for nearly three decades. As you can imagine, this has been a massive decision for us, one of the hardest we've ever made. We have poured nearly 30 years of our lives into this vision, and it has shaped us, our family and our lives in ways that words honestly cannot fully capture.
About 31 years ago, while living and ministering in New York, we felt God calling us back to the UK. We didn't come to open a church, but we came back to give our lives serving as evangelists in the UK and Europe. It was 2 years later, we sensed a very clear calling from the Lord to plant a church in Portsmouth, a church the Lord told us would grow to over 1,000 people.
So, in October 1997, not knowing how we would do it, we took a big, massive step of faith and opened Abide in the Vine Family Church, a Buckland Community Centre on Malins Road. We had no resources, only a big God-sized dream. A small faithful army of 12 joined us, some who are still with us today, others now cheering us on from glory, including my own mum. A few months in, Stuart and Carla also joined the journey and have served so faithfully on that journey alongside us. Those early days were full of bold faith, big dreams, and seeing God show up time and again. Family Church was birthed in faith, and it has grown by faith. Together, we've reached people, discipled people, raised leaders, and planted congregations around Hampshire and even in the Philippines, impacting and changing communities.
Along the way, we've laughed, we've cried, we've celebrated, we've grieved, we've dedicated newborns, married couples, and walked alongside so many of you through life's milestones. Our five children all grew up in this house. It was the only church they knew as children and into their teens. When we first started, we only had our daughter Olivia, who was 3 months old when the church doors opened. And she grew up alongside this church, from a three-month-old baby to a bride. And watching her journey reminds us what it means to nurture and then entrust something we love into capable hands. And that's precisely what this transition feels like.
About 18 months ago, we began to sense that the assignment God had given us in 1997 was nearing its completion. We knew that we had fully accomplished what he had asked us to do, and it was time. Time to step into a next chapter, an assignment that he had prepared for us. So in January, we began a 12-month transition plan with the directors and key leaders of Family Church.
Our decision to step aside is not a reflection of the love that we have for you, which is deep, enduring, unwavering, but it's a response to God's call for what he wants us to do next. We could choose to stay, and that would be very easy to do, but easy has never been our path.
No, it hasn't. So what comes next for us? To be fully honest with you, we know in part, but not fully. We do know that it will involve soul winning, mentoring leaders, and bringing apostolic insight into churches, as well as traveling more to the nations of the world and engaging in mission work. Like Abraham and Sarah, we feel God saying to us, trust me, step out of what you know and step in to what you have not yet known and I have for you next. Please, please pray for us as we step into this next season by faith, just trusting him. Here's some key dates about this transition that it's good for you to know. From the end of January, we will no longer be employed by Family Church. On February the 1st, we will hand over the senior pastor baton to Stuart and Carla, with Sean and Paula continuing as congregational pastors of Portsmouth. We will then move into the role of providing apostolic covering for the church. Then on February the 8th, this will be our final Sunday sharing in Family Church as senior pastors, where we will take time on this day to celebrate all that God has done over the last 28 years and look forward with anticipation to what he's going to do next. You know, transitions, when led by God, are not only good, they're essential. He raises, he moves, and he positions people as he sees fit. And our desire is to respond with obedience and faith in this transition that we now find ourselves in. We have every confidence that under the leadership of Stuart and Carla, Family Church will continue to thrive and grow in a strong, safe, and healthy way.
And in closing, it has been the absolute honor of our lives to have been chosen by God to pioneer and establish Family Church. And like loving parents watching a child grow, we're not leaving, we're simply changing roles.
We transition from being senior leaders to providing apostolic covering, continuing to walk with and support the church as it boldly steps in to its future. I want to give a special thank you to all of our leaders across the congregation, so many incredible men and women who were drawn to this vision that God gave to us and have served alongside us so faithfully to fulfill it. We thank you and have every confidence that you will continue to serve with passion. We love you dearly, Family Church, both now and always. To God be the glory for all that he has done and all he's about to do. We love you. God bless.
Amen. Okay, so for some of you, that's big news. For others of you, maybe you've joined us in the last 2 months and that doesn't really mean a whole lot to you. But we are so excited about this next season, both for Pastors Andy and Gina and for Family Church under the leadership of Pastor Stu and Carla. And we'll unpack that a little bit in terms of the fact that when you know God has ordained a transition, then you walk in all that God is going to do and you see doors open. You know, that was filmed in early August. And yeah, it feels a little bit scripted, but that was the first time that they'd announced it. They've then since announced it to the staff and to the leaders. And all I can tell you is since we've taken steps and since Pastor Andy and Gina have taken steps knowing that God was calling them into what was next, doors are just opening. And so over even the last couple of months, since that video was filmed, Pastor Andy's book, Soul Winner, that many of you are aware of, has been translated for free into other languages, two other languages. There's now about three or four languages where Soul Winner is being used, and invitations are opening across Europe and across the world. So be praying for Pastors Andy and Gina into their next. As he said, they're going to be continuing to provide apostolic covering. Again, if you're new to church, what on earth does that mean? It means walking alongside us, speaking into the eldership, speaking into the life of a church. You'll continue to see them in and around Family Church when they are here. And so, as always, in a moment like this, there may be questions that people have, practical questions of the outworking of it. And so we've created a Q&A document that's going to be available at the back after the service. Grab one of those, read through it. If you have any further questions, then come and speak to us. But when God has authored something, and we know as an eldership, we've been, as Pastor Andy said, journeying this for 18 months where we felt something, God was transitioning something. Change isn't always easy, but when you know God's in it and he is leading things, we've had so many confirmations. There's been people coming up with prophecies. They had no idea what they were saying, but speaking directly into the situation. And so we're excited for this. Now, the church over the last 2,000 years has constantly been seeing change and transition. And Family Church in this moment are announcing this. But as I said a moment ago in Acts chapter 2, we see a church that wasn't afraid of God-orchestrated change. Because even though change isn't always easy, when you know God's in it, it's a good thing, right? And so we're all wired differently. I know that for some of you in this room, change, you love it. You run every opportunity there is to have change, a new season in your life. I'm going to change this, I'm going to change this. Other people, you don't like change. You take a step back. It unnerves you every time that there is change. But the reality is, if we want to move forward in life, and if we want to move forward into all that God has for us next, then change is always going to play a part in that. Right? Life is made up of change. How many people know that? The journey of following Jesus is made up of change. When you think for a moment how much your life has changed, maybe for some of you, even over the past year, you take a step back and think a lot has changed over the last year. For others of you, if you step back in 5 years, you think that's an awful lot of change that's taken place. Okay, let's zoom right back, if you're old enough, to 25 years ago. Look at your life. Look at how much has changed over the last 25 years. 25 years ago, I was just about barely still a teenager. And some of you are like, oh, you're younger than you look. Okay, thanks. But I was unsaved. I was on the cusp of being saved 25 years ago. And my life was broken. I was completely broken as a teenager. But God stepped into my world. There was a defining moment where things changed and I was forever radically changed. In that time, I was saved. Then I met Kirsty. Then we started dating. We got engaged. We got married. We planted a church. We had one child. We planted another church. We had a second child. We had a third child. We have now stopped. Even though there's moments, we were around Mark and Mavis Tambers the other day with a new baby, and it's just a moment, and I looked at Kirsty, and she gave me that look as if to say, don't go there. Don't even go there. And I'm only talking like this because she's actually not here this morning, but so I can do it. But the reality is, in each of those seasons, things changed. Every time there's a new step in your life, a new job, a new change of house, whatever it might be, just sometimes there's external stuff, but often there's internal stuff that is changing within us. Life is made up of seasons. Lauren Grolich wrote a great blog about seasons this week. If you haven't caught it, look at the Discipleship Hub. But seasons come and seasons go. Think about how much life has changed around you, not just your life, but around you over the last few decades. Think about fashion, right? If some of you who were alive in the 70s, if we could pull up some photos right now, and we've got one of Mark Ward, no, not really. I picked on you last week, I should find somebody else, but if we put pictures up, some of you will be like, oh no, don't go there. The reality is, if you hold on long enough to those clothes, it then comes right back anyway. So just hold on to everything that's in your wardrobe, because one day it will come back. Seasons go, fashions change. Technology is constantly changing. The vast majority of you in this room have a small mobile phone that fits in your pocket here this morning. Most of you are blessed and you have an iPhone. Some of you are a bit on the wrong path and have an Android, but you have a mobile phone that you carry in your pocket. Think back just a few decades. Phones didn't even exist. And then we had the phone that you'd plug into your house and into the wall, and everybody could hear every conversation that was taking place. And then we had the mobile phones, as we've said before, that you carried around. There's a briefcase for the battery because it was so huge. And then came the next step where you didn't have a briefcase for the battery, but it was like you were carrying a brick around with you every time. And now they're producing the smallest thing. The reality is that technology, everything around you in life, is constantly changing. We live in an ever-changing world. The car that you drive right now, that you love and you're like, this is amazing, one day will be on the scrap heap. The clothes that you wear will one day just be rags somewhere. The looks that we have, I'm sorry to bear this news to you. Some of you, I say this just kindly, but no matter how much cream you use, it will catch up with you. For some of us, the hairline, it's receding and we can do whatever we want, but it catches up with us. Everything changes around us. Everything changes internally as well. We live in an ever-changing world, and yet, here's what I want us to know, we serve a never-changing God. God is constant, amen? He does not change. He is constant in his character. Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord, and I do not change. Now, if you say, well, I don't know, maybe God does change, I think that verse kind of clarifies it for every single one of us. Fairly simple. I am the Lord, I do not change. Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. How many of you know God doesn't have good days and bad days like we do? He is just constant. He is faithful. He is good every single day that life passes by. He is constant in his character. He's also constant in his word. His word is constant and unchanging. A couple of verses, Psalm 119:89, forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the grass withers and the flowers fade. There you go, another season, a change. And yet the word of our God stands forever. God's word stands forever, amen? Now, we might say things that we don't mean sometimes. We might say things that we can't keep to. We might say things with great assurance and then 5 minutes later our opinion has changed, but God's word does not change. It is eternal. It does not need updating. It does not need upgrading. God's word is forever. Now, there's many more facets that we could look at when it comes to who God is, but time doesn't allow. The reality is God does not change. And yet, God is constantly using change or initiating change to take us from where we are to where he needs us to be. Think about it, the gospel. That very first moment you encounter Jesus, what was that all about? Change. You can't get more radical, you can't get bigger change than somebody dying to themselves and a new life being born. The thought of being born again, you can't get more radical or bigger change than that. But then it doesn't stop there. The day that I gave my life to Jesus was the most defining day of my life, and it will forever be, because it radically changed me. I was dead in my sins and my trespasses, but God made me alive in Christ Jesus. Amen? And so that was the biggest, most defining day, but it doesn't stop there. Because then the Bible talks about this thing called discipleship. Romans 12 verse 2, what does that speak of? It says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. In other words, be changed by the renewing of your mind, in order that you can prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God will always initiate change or use change in order to get you where he needs you to be. And sometimes when we look at change in our life, it is God who has orchestrated it. Like we're talking about in this moment with Family Church. Pastor Andy spoke about Abraham. Let's go there, Genesis 12, 1 to 3, because this is a great analogy of change and real life example of change. It says, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make you famous. You will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. Right, if God speaks that to you in your prayer, that's a pretty huge promise from God. He says, all this is there for you. I'm going to do, you're not even going to have to work on it. I'm going to do all of this. But in order to get to that place of a promise being fulfilled in your life, Abraham, stuff needs to change. You see, change will take you to a place where it will play with everything that you've ever placed your security in. Change will always, or can often, produce fear and insecurity. You see, when your security is in anything outside of God, you're on dangerous ground. Because your security can be placed in your career, your job, that you've had for years and years and years, and so your security is in there. But what about when suddenly the world changes and your job changes? What about when they begin to speak about redundancies in your sector of the company that you work for? All of a sudden, it plays with your security. Your security may be in the fact that you're a mum or a dad if you have children, and your security is found in that because you've placed your identity in that. Okay, what about when the kids grow up and leave home? What are you left with then? What about if you are placing your security in your position or your finances? What about when change comes out of nowhere? Abraham had to leave the security he knew, and he had to face up to some challenges. What are some of those? He had to face up to fear. Living in a different culture, different language, different traditions, God said to him, leave your native country. Sometimes God will ask us to leave a place of comfort in order to get us to where he needs us to be. Abraham had to face up to pain, leaving relatives, leaving home, leaving friends. God said to him, leave your family behind. For some of us to fully embrace change, I'm not talking about leaving your family behind physically, but you may have to leave old family mindsets behind. You might have to leave old family expectations behind in order to step out and be the person that God has called you to be. Abraham had to face risk head on. He was leaving the security of his home for an unknown place. Why? Because God calls us to walk by faith, right? Paul said, we're not to walk by what we see. We're not to walk by sight. We're to walk by faith and the command of God. And so he says, Abraham, your name is going to be great. Every nation on earth will be blessed through you. Imagine that moment where God is speaking that over his life. Every nation will be blessed through you, but there needs to be change in order to get you to that place. Here's a rhetorical question for you. Is God trying to bring about change in your life? Because he wants to get you from where you are to where he needs you to be. Now, 99% of the time, that change won't be a geographical relocation, but often that change means a change of attitude, a change of outlook. sometimes a change of key relationships in your life, a change of habits, a change of heart. If God is orchestrating change, here's a question: what's your response going to be? See, sometimes God initiates change, as we said. Other times, God will use it. Sometimes the change that we experience isn't orchestrated by God, but He is sovereign. And so He will use it. So sometimes circumstances bring about change. Sometimes other people's decisions bring about change in your life. Sometimes your mistakes, I've found, lead me to a place of change. And God may not have offered it, but the Bible says He can still use it. God may not have offered the change, but He can use it in your life for your good and ultimately for His glory. Change. Change. Change is here to stay. And when your trust is in God, He will use it to push you forward into where God wants you to be. And He will use it, I promise, for your good and for His glory. It's called the journey of faith. Proverbs 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. You know, sometimes when God brings about change, personally I'm talking about, in your life, it's not on your timetable. Have you noticed that? But we're like, oh God, I want this to change. And then He changes it. You're like, no, not right now. Give me a little while. When God says, you know, when we say, I want my spouse to change, or I want this person to change, and God says, okay, how about we start with you changing and let me deal with the rest? Sometimes it's not on our timetable. Sometimes it's not how we would want it. But when we know God is orchestrating or using the change, we can trust Him with all of our heart. So today, as a church family, we've announced a change. For some, it means a lot. For others, less so. But a change that we know has been orchestrated and is going to be used by God. As I said, as an eldership over the last 18 months, as we stepped forward into what we felt God was saying, there have been so many confirmations for us as a church, for Pastors Andy and Gina, as we step into our next. Now, change for some isn't always easy, whether that be in our church or in our lives. But this morning, I want to encourage you to do what the early church did. Don't resist change. Embrace change and trust in what God is doing. Because whenever God uses change, it may be unsettling to the soul, but it's exciting to the spirit. Because it means that He's bringing about something good for His glory. So as we close this morning, a couple of questions for you, rhetorical, on a personal level. We've announced a corporate change, but on a personal level, here's some questions on change. How will you respond to any challenge of change God may be bringing you in this season of your life? You've seen seasons come, you've seen seasons go. What is God speaking to you about right now in this season of your life, in this situation, in this moment, in this year of your life? What is God speaking over you? And the second question, what do you sense or know God is calling you to change? Because here's the thing about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you come to church and the Holy Spirit has already been speaking to you and you sit in your chair and you think, how on earth does He know everything that's going on in my life? Right? I've been accused of that so many times. How do you know what's going on? It's not. It's the Holy Spirit who's speaking. He's the same Holy Spirit who spoke to you this week, who's in the preparation as I sit down and prepare the word for what God's going to speak. God knows what He is speaking. And so if you're here today and you're saying, oh, God's been speaking to me over and over and over about change in any capacity, and you say, this morning I come and you just say exactly what I feel the Holy Spirit's saying, that's because He knows what He is doing. What is God calling you to change? It may be, as I said, a change of mindset. Maybe a change of heart. For some of you, God is calling you to change that heart from unforgiveness to letting go. He wants you to operate in forgiveness rather than wanting to fight everybody around you. God is calling for a change of heart. God may be calling for something bigger, a change of job, a change of something in your life. But the question is this, will you allow God to use change to do something brand new in your life today? Amen. Just close your eyes for a moment this morning, because as we close this service, I want to give an opportunity for anybody here who wants to make this decision to make the greatest change and experience the greatest change that you could ever experience in your life. Let me tell you that Jesus isn't an addition to your life. The gospel isn't, oh, your life can be a little bit better if you give your life to Jesus. The gospel is this, that you right now, if you don't follow Jesus, if you haven't accepted him as the Lord and Savior of your life, the Bible says that you are dead in your sins and your trespasses. That we are far away from God. And yet the reality is that God has made a way. We spoke about it a couple of weeks ago. It's called his grace. That the Bible says when you believe in what Jesus has done for you, that he came to this earth and he lived the perfect life and he died on a cross in your place and he rose from the dead so that you could have relationship with the Father. When you understand that and you place your faith in him, the Bible says it's a gift that God gives to you, a gift called salvation, where the greatest change in your life ever will take place. That the old has gone, the new has come, and you have an opportunity of a brand new life in him. Not a patched up, slightly better life, but a life where you went from being dead. It may feel like you're alive when you go to work. You're physically alive, but the reason is you're spiritually dead. And this morning he wants to say to you, come, follow me. Come, follow me, and I will change your life forever. So maybe you're here today and you know of people who have been followers of Jesus, or maybe you've just wandered in because for no matter, you just felt, I want to go to church today. You don't even know, you can't even articulate it, but you're in church today and here's what I want you to do and give you an opportunity to do. We're going to pray a prayer. And that prayer is just simply a prayer of introduction. It's the Bible says that we believe in our hearts, we confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord. So that's all we're going to do in this simple prayer today. I'm going to invite you to repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I know you created me for a relationship with you. I know that sin has got in the way of that. But without you, I'm spiritually dead. But I believe that you sent your son Jesus. He walked this earth and he died on a criminal's cross. They placed him in a tomb, but he rose from the dead, defeating sin and defeating death once and for all. Father, forgive my past. Make me brand new. Oh, I want to experience your change. So I give you my future. Amen. Just keep your eyes closed. If that's you, and over the last 3 weeks, we've had many people making this decision to follow Jesus. If that's you, then here's what I want you to do. So very simply in this moment, I won't embarrass you or bring you forward, but I want you to have an opportunity to say, yes, that's me. If that's you, would you just raise your hand in this moment? And the only reason for this is that we want to just be able to pray for you, not embarrass you. But if it's for the very first time you're making this decision, or you're coming back to relationship with God, you know you've wandered away and you say, today I'm making my comeback, I'm going to make this decision for him, then this is your opportunity in this moment just to raise your hand and I'll pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else? 3 people saying yes to Jesus in this moment. Father, I thank you. I thank you that it is a new day. I thank you for those 3 individuals, whether for the first time or saying, I'm coming back home. Father, I thank you for these 3 individuals. The old has gone and the new is here. Jesus, we celebrate, just as heaven celebrates this morning, we celebrate 3 people saying yes to the kingdom of God and yes to a new life. Come on, church, celebrate in this moment for what they have done. We thank you, Lord, and we speak life into their future. We speak your grace into their future, and we speak that they will know you as God who is kind, who is faithful, who is good, and a God who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, far above all that we dare to dream or imagine. In your mighty and precious name we pray. Amen and amen. Give him praise this morning for all that he is doing. Amen. Okay, listen, don't rush off. As we said, tea and coffee. If you're new and you've not connected with us yet, come and speak to us. We'd love to get to know you more. And I know that over the last few weeks, we've had a lot of visitors, a lot of first-time guests. We're just so glad that you are here and you chose to be here this morning. If you've been on the journey for a while and obviously you want to know more about the outworking of the transition and the leadership change, then as I said, there'll be Q&A documents at the back for you. Don't forget to be praying for Messy Church that is beginning today. This afternoon, later on, we're going to be welcoming people in from our community to our very first Messy Church. Be praying for the team, be praying for the families, and let's believe that that seed that goes into the ground will yield another kingdom harvest. Amen? Amen. God bless you all.